I think radio is about atmosphere, it's about entertaining people, it's about making people feel good, and it's about relating to people.
Yes, indeed. Here's
Dave Doubledick.
Doubledick here on Radio Local, just warming up before the program, as they say. And we've got some great sounds on the show today, and we'll be with
Come
you
on, Dave,
in
pull
just
it
a
together.
Minute. Oh dear.
Dave.
Yes, where were we? Yeah. Yes, Radio Local with me, Dave Doubledick, and...
Okay, Dave, we'll come back to you later.
It's the Steve Wright Show here on Radio 1. 3 to 5:30, you can join in the fun.
Lots of great records just for you. True stories and trivia too.
The Steve Wright Show here on Radio 1.
Yeah.
3 to 5:30, you can join in the fun.
That's right.
It's the Steve Wright Show.
Of your choice, I don't mind. I'd be happy just to hear your voice saying this is for the girl who didn't sign her name. Yes, she needs your dedication just the same. Late at night, I'm still listening. Don't waste my time chasing sleep.
When I was a kid, I used to live in Southend, in Essex, and you could hear the pirate radio stations very clearly in Southend. It used to come cranking in. And I know that Kenny Everett said that in those days on the BBC, it was just people like Pete Murray and David Jacobs. But where we lived, we could hear all of the pirate radio stations. And these were all ships off the coast of Essex, all pumping out different kinds of music with different formats. I remember there's one called... Radio 390, which was kind of like a forerunner to Radio 2, which was pumping out nice, sweet music with really cool presenters. And there was Radio London, and there was Radio Caroline. These were all zappy stations. And I remember listening to these things and thinking, that is so exciting. It wasn't necessarily the music that I was into, because I was never really a great pop fan. I just used to like listening to these guys and listening to the good atmosphere and the excitement that they were generating.
Swinging radio. 227.
This is Britain Radio on 355 metres in the medium wave band.
If you have enjoyed the programmes on KING, we invite you now to retune your radio to 390 metres in the medium wave band.
You're in tune with your family music station, Radio 390.
Have yourself a time, tune into Caroline.
This is Caroline.
Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
I used to like a fella called Keith Skews. Keith Skews and Cardboard Shoes, who's now working at a commercial radio station somewhere in the UK. I think he's a program controller now, and rightly so. But he used to have a kind of tongue-in-cheek style, if you like. He was an early Terry Wogan. You could just hear something in his voice that told you that he really didn't give a damn. You know, it was either take it or leave it. I'm sat here and I'm doing this kind of stuff for you, and if you like it, you like it, you like my attitude. If you don't, well, go somewhere else. And he had this sardonic, satirical style that appealed to me personally. And even though Keith was a very, very good newsreader and a fine announcer, he could pull it together when he wanted to, but mainly you could tell by listening to him, by listening to the inflections in his voice, that what he really enjoyed doing the most was having a good old lark about.
The Cradle of Love, recorded by Johnny Preston, yonks ago. In fact, when that record was in the charts, I was at the British Forces Network in Germany. In fact, I was looking through some old charts. This is where I get all these dates from, date dropping lately. February the 17th, 1960, it was number 2 in our BFN charts over there. So, you know, it sort of dates it, doesn't it? All right? Pardon? I can't hear you. Speak up. 1960, Mrs. Woman. That's 7 years ago this very day, right? Big L! Yes, yeah, God. Right, you're listening to the wireless, ladies and gentlemen.
Most DJs will say that Alan Freeman is one of their heroes, and I must confess that Alan Freeman is one of mine. I always used to listen to Alan on the BBC, and really, over the years, Alan hasn't changed at all, but you love him for it. He is like an institution. And I do remember listening to Alan. Alan was one of the few people on the BBC at that time who was actually different. He had a style of his own. He was interesting. His inflections, the way that he said things, was interesting to me. And that's really what I liked about Alan. And again, he had that excitement, and you could hear it in his voice, the enthusiasm for the work.
It's Big Al!
Oh, Fluff, you are awful. I like you.
Welcome, everyone. Tuesday, August 1 at 3. We must get that fan club going with Johnny Walker, that's for sure. Thanks, John, for the programme between 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome between 3 and 5 on Radio 1. And here we go with this one.
Because there's so few radio stations in Britain at the moment, because there's so little comedy, people might say to me, well, surely you're a pale imitation of Kenny Everett, or aren't you going over Kenny Everett's old ground? Aren't you doing some of the things that Kenny used to do? I hope I'm not. I'm a big fan of Kenny's, but Kenny was unique, and I think to copy Kenny would be a terrible sin in radio. And I don't really think that my attitude, my on-air attitude, is in any way similar to Kenny's. And really, I don't think that the humour that we try and put over in the afternoons and on Sundays is in any way similar to Kenny's. I think Kenny has a unique sense of humour. He is the original zany DJ.
Oh, get in for this. Hey, Stuart. Stuart? Stuart? You won't let me talk to him now. Just want to say, how dare you have Davy Jones on your show? Mind you, I've got John and Paul.
Yes, there's definitely some music coming up, Ken. Yes. I should prepare for a show if I was you.
Okay, I will. Tears in vast abundance for this one, kids. Now, all together now, sad to say.
Sad to say, but I'm going away, cause it's the final show. And I've just got to go.
Yes, indeed, friends, this is the last show of the series. So if I can fight my way through the tears, I shall play a few records for you. Like this one, for instance, first on the show, Bruce Chanel. The title of which is Keep On.
Keep On.
I've made it.
Keep on doing whatever it is you're doing to me. Keep on. I don't understand it, but maybe you get to do me. I'm a hard guy to love, I've been hurt. It's happened before. But you've got to speak a little something about it and make it next to more. Keep on.
Keep on.
Keep on doing whatever it is you're doing. Touch me like nobody else, so touch me again. You put a love where love never was. Again and 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 again. A lot about to keep on.
Keep on.
Keep on doing whatever it is you're doing to me. Keep on.
Keep on.
I don't understand it, but baby, you're getting through to me.
I often wonder where Tony Blackburn got his style from. There is another fella who is totally and utterly unique. He hit on the idea of, again, introducing humour into a top 40 format. But basically what Tony was and is a comedian. And instead of being a stand-up comedian, he's a sit-down comedian. So he used to come on and sit down every morning when I was a kid. I was going to school. Whenever I hear Tony Blackburn's voice, I always think it's time to go to school. And Tony was always there. He must be the world's most reliable broadcaster. And Tony basically introduced the one and two line gags into radio. And often those things used to make up his entire link. He used to say something like, "Good morning if you're somebody's mother-in-law. I had a mother-in-law who da 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 da." One and two line gag, into a jingle, make it short and zappy, into a record, where you go. Time check, little bit of topicality. And that was Tony's style.
Yes, maker.
Yes,
maker.
Yes,
maker.
Yes, maker. Number 11 this week from Herman and Sir Hermit. And that's a number called Years May Come, Years May Go. I'd like to play that last one for some friends of mine who I had the pleasure of staying with last night. I sort of slept around at their house. Do you know they made me make my own bed? They gave me a hammer and some nails.
The Tony Blackburn Show.
Out of sight.
Just for a gimmick, I'll play you another record now. 21 minutes past seven. And this is the new one from Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Johnny Walker, like John Peel, was probably one of the first Into the Music jocks. And I'm not an Into the Music jock myself, but millions of people tune into radio shows where the music is the priority, is the most important thing. And I used to listen to Johnny Walker in the early days, and I suppose in a sense he turned me on to soul music. He used to love soul music, and he used to have a thing on, I think it was Radio Caroline in the early days, where he was on the ship, and he used to have people come down to the coast, set their cars up, pointing at the ship, and he used to ask them to flash their lights.
Hey, we can see you at Frinton. Naughty people. Fancy listening to Radio Caroline. 90 minutes.
Now that is as ridiculous as having a ventriloquist on radio, which also they did in the early days. But for some reason, the imagery of that worked in my head as I was sat there listening to him very late at night.
Beautiful record there. That's on Philips Records. Karen Young singing a song called A Hurt Won't Go Away on Norwell Radio Caroline. It's going to be here forever. Oh, yes, I knew I was going to tell you. Since the early hours of the morning, up until about half an hour ago, we had a big foresail gale raging in the North Sea. But now, the sea is very calm, very smooth. Stars are out, the moon is shining, and it's a beautiful, beautiful night.
Let me wrap you in my warm and tender love. Yeah. Let me wrap you in my warm and tender love.
Good night spot, as I recall, which was just the most intimate thing I'd ever heard. He used to say good night to a particular girl, and he used to have all the music up in the background and lots of nice mellow soul music. And it was really entertaining listening, but it was intimate. You felt that you knew him. You knew when he was in a bad mood. You knew when he was in a good mood. You knew when he didn't want to talk. And he's very impressive as a broadcaster, and he had a strong influence on me in a sense, in that I realised that what radio should really be is a kind of one-to-one relationship. Johnny never said, hello, everybody. He would always say, hello to you. And to this day, I really hate that kind of hello, everyone attitude. So Johnny, in a sense, taught me not to do that and taught me how to relate on a one-to-one basis on the radio.
Oh, jingle, jingle, jangle, jangle, bells, bells. Love, isn't it? And a big thank you to TLT for the last 2 hours. Yawning Johnny Walker, who was up late last night celebrating a mate's birthday. Anyway, a very warm welcome to the programme. From now until 3 o'clock, we've 2 hours of nice early afternoon music for you. For your delectation this lunchtime. I'll be looking at the stars at shortly after the 1:30 news for our general birthday forecast, and then a housewife birth chart, of course, at 2:15. So stick around for as long as you can. Now, 4 minutes after two, back to music with Aretha Franklin and her new single called Rock Steady.
Rock steady, baby, that's what I feel now. Let's go the song and exactly what it is.
I think with anything, if you're a musician or if you're a comedian or in any occupation, what you do is you listen to the people who are good at the job and you think to yourself, I wonder why it is they're so appealing. I wonder why it is they're good. What is it they have? You take a little bit of each and then you don't do any of it, but you keep it in your head. And maybe occasionally you might use a little bit. You might use a Kenny Everett inflection. You might have a little bit of Terry Wogan's tongue-in-cheek or a little bit of the Keith Skews sardonic wit. But I don't think it's something you do consciously. It's just that they are literally early influences on your style. But I never really intended to go into radio at all. I wanted to be a chemist. I used to have a little shed in my mum and dad's back garden. I used to call it the Zed Shed. Don't laugh. I used to be into chemistry because I always wanted to be a chemist. I had this vision of inventing something. The other thing I was interested in was shortwave listening. I used to listen to a lot of the, you know, this is Radio Moscow. Imperialist forces today attacked. All this kind of nonsense, you know, and I used to be amused by it. But I also used to listen to the Hams. And it was fascinating listening to people talk to each other. That was really my first inkling of wanting to be on the radio. And I applied to the RSGB, the Radio Society of Great Britain, to become a radio ham. It sounds like a sketch, but it's true. And they sent back the letter saying that I was too young. So I thought, well, I have to wait around a while. Then, of course, along came these professional guys. You tune away from the shortwave and onto the medium wave, and there they are doing the real stuff with the music and all the zappy jingles. So I think, really, it was listening to amateur radio that really got me interested in being on the radio at all. But I never intended to be a disc jockey. I never thought I was good enough to get onto the radio, so I never bothered to apply. When I left school, I went off and worked in insurance, and I worked for British Telecoms, and then I went into journalism, newspaper journalism. And then, in the early 70s, LBC opened up, and I was working as a newspaper journalist, and I applied to work for them. So I went to work for them for, I think, only 6 months, and then I was asked to join a local radio station in the Berkshire area, and they said, would you like to try the DJing? So I did.
There ain't no more. You've taken everything my belief in Mother Earth. Can you ignore my faith in everything? Cause I know what faith is and what it's worth.
It's coming round to 11 minutes to 8, Radio 210 coming at you. 210 metres medium wave, 1431 kilohertz, 97 FM in stereo. Here's something from 210 Cares. 3/4 of a ton of garden earth, good quality in brackets, is on offer from Stephen Denton of Dawlish Road in Reading. It's his friends of the earth. He's giving it away. His number is Reading 868-427, 868-427. And a note from the Hampshire County Council. All Hampshire County libraries will be closed on Saturday 26th, that's tomorrow, May 28th, Monday, and Bank Holiday Monday and Tuesday 29th. They'll reopen on their usual day and at their usual times after those dates.
Steve Wright, breakfast show. When do I get the money?
In the early 70s, commercial radio was in its developing years. They weren't ready for what I was doing. It was too wild. And I used to get people from the management come down and say, well, we don't really want any of this zany stuff. Why are you talking about things in the news? And I would say, well, I feel that that's what relates to people. It's what people are reading in their newspapers tomorrow. So I want to be talking about it. Or they would say, you're promoting television programs. Why are you talking about Coronation Street? I would say, well, Coronation Street relates to people. They would say, well, we don't want any of that stuff here. Just stick to the music. I've heard this phrase in my head for so many years. Just stick to the music. Well, I think that you have to create a mood and a rhythm for a radio program. And some folks say to me, well, it seems to me that you don't care about the music or you don't care what you play. It seems to me you're on some kind of ego trip. You like the sound of your own voice. I think that music is a subjective kind of thing. It's if you like, a vehicle for creating good feeling. You can create a mood with music that you can't with anything else. You can use sound effects like we do, but music creates its own rhythm, and it can set stuff up for you, and it can make people feel good, it can move people, it can make them cry, it can make them happy. So I will use music in that way. There are some records that you play, like, for instance, Radio Radio by Elvis Costello, that straight away is exciting. So in a sense, you use the music, and the music uses you.
I was tuning in the shine of the light, not dial doing anything my radio advised. With every one of those late night stations playing songs, bringing tears to my eyes. I was seriously thinking about hiding the receiver when the switch broke, cause it's old. Do as you were told. You better listen to the radio. I wanna bite the hand that feeds me. I wanna bite that hand so badly. I wanna make them wish they never seen me. Some of my friends sit around every evening and they worry about the times ahead. Everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. It's only inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. So you better listen to the voice of choice, cause they think that it's treason. So you had better do as you were told.
I think the danger, if you work in British radio, because we're an island, some people in radio tend to pick up that island mentality. And they'll only listen to radio in the UK, and they'll only do what's been done before. I often go to different places like America, like Canada, like Australia, just to listen to the radio. And I will go and listen to radio and see what they're doing. I'm married to an American, so I know that Americans can be very aggressive and very assertive, and the nature of the American language, the way that they speak, is so totally different from the British way. But I think that we can learn from it. They use their voices to sing. Roscoe,
the Emperor Roscoe,
in a sense, epitomized some of the best and the worst of American radio. He was a guy who came on British radio, I think, what, in the late 60s, and was so wild. He was like an animal let loose out of a cage. It was just completely, totally and utterly compelling. I couldn't understand a word he was saying, but I don't think that it mattered, because he was creating an atmosphere that was fun to be part of, and he was playing the kind of exciting records that I like to play. And I always remember he was on Saturday lunchtime, and it was just something that you must tune into just to get a blast of excitement. It was almost like a drug. And once you heard this lunatic, you felt good for the rest of the day.
Out of sight there. That was Miss Anne from our cleaning lady who keeps everything spick and span. Mercy! Getting on, getting on with Mr. James Brown and the famous plane. Hey! Great Casablanca! I'd like to wish all the luck to our new newsreader on Radio 1, Brian Emperingham. No relation to the Emperor, of course.
Hey! The Roscoe Show was a copyrighted feature and may not be reproduced in whole or in part.
Copyright 1972.
When I first went to the States and listened to American radio, I guess it was the late 70s, and cruising around New York City, what you do over there, you buy a car, and the first thing you say to the rental people is, does it have a radio? If it doesn't have a radio, they may as well scrap it, because in New York City alone, there's probably 250, 300 stations. There's a tremendous choice in the States. I personally would like to see us in Britain have a greater variety of radio stations. In an ideal world, there should be a soul station, there should be a country station. This is what they have in the States. I think listening to American radio is an inspiration rather than listening to it and copying what they do per se. I think you have to listen to it and you have to say, well, look, you go back to Britain, it's British radio that you're on. You can't come on like an American DJ unless you're American. Oh, there are some people that try and do it, and this is where we get the mid-Atlantic sound. But I think that what you can learn from American radio is how to make it exciting. Everything is important on American radio. Every inflection, everything they say has to be important because of the nature of it. It's so competitive. When you've got 300 stations, you have to say your call sign virtually every 10 seconds or people will tune away. You have to say what you do and who you are.
Caller number 24.
Are you kidding?
You just won $3,000.
Oh, my God. I was on the way taking my kids to school. I put it in reverse and backed up. Oh, my God. This is great. Are you kidding?
You actually went back in the house and called.
Oh, I'm so excited. Woo. Are you joshing? Oh, Rick. Oh.
You got $3,000. You think about that all day long, Brenda.
Oh, my God.
Can you tell us what radio station has the mega bucks?
Kiss FM.
Ow! One song, one phone call, and you're thousands of dollars richer. It's the Daily Cash Payoff from 102.7. Kiss FM. It is 8:16, and today's song is Like a Virgin from Madonna. When we play that, wait till it's over, and if you're calling number 32, it's $4,000.
Easy.
There's a radio station which is the number one radio station in New York at the moment. It's only been there since 1983. And a fellow called Scott Shannon took it over a couple of years ago. It was called WHTZ. And it was a country station that was dying a death because radio is so competitive in the States. If another country station comes up, the other one goes down the pan, literally. And stations can often change format overnight. Well, this radio station, WHTZ, changed its format to basic top 40, what they call CHR, Contemporary Hit Radio. Isn't that awful? And now they're the biggest radio station in America, really. And they're called Z100.
Z100. Good morning, Z100 Radio.
The Z-Zoo in the morning, in the morning, in the morning. On Z100.
Hello, this is Fast Freddy with the story of Z100. August 1983, Z100 hits the airwaves. Everybody laughs, ha ha ha, but not for long. Z100 beats WABC, WABP, WKHK, WKQ, WBLS, WNBC, Quack Quack, and all the rest. With the ZooCast, Scott Chan, and Russ Britton, Jaron Nelson, Claire Stevens, Captain Kevin, John Bell, Mr. Leonard, Tired as a Dog, Mad as a Dog, Sick as a Dog, and G-Search, Cabbage Patch.
It's wild and wacky. They have a show called The Morning Zoo. And it's like nothing I've ever seen before, really. It's if you like, it's an extension of what we're doing in the afternoons on Radio 1. And instead of me and, say, the afternoon boys and a couple of contributors, they have maybe 10 contributors, and they have 5 or 6 people standing around this room, the studio. None of them sit down. They've got animals in the studio. They've got drums. They've got people feeding them information. They've got calls. They've got things happening all the time. I personally couldn't do it. I couldn't keep up with it. It would be too much for my brain. But Americans are hyper anyway, so they're able to do it. And it's very, very entertaining. This show, The Morning Zoo, is brilliant.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
May we help you?
Scott Zoo?
Yeah.
I don't want your airtime. I want to know you. I think you're both beautiful, and I want to get to know you. You're okay. Excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just to know that I'm 20 years old, and I think that you guys are beautiful. I really do. You make my mornings.
What have you been smoking this morning?
Nothing. Nothing. I went to a DJ pool last night that inspired me.
Are you a vegetarian?
Almost.
Or a vegetable?
No, not at all. I'm lit. Naturally lit.
Naturally lit, huh?
Yeah, I'll say.
All right. I'm not trying to be rude, but it takes a certain amount of brain cells to conduct an intelligent conversation over the telephone, and you're checking it a little bit short, my dear.
Am I?
That's right.
There's a fellow in Washington who, to me, has taken radio to its logical conclusion. He deals more or less in imagery, total imagery. I used to love listening to plays, you know, on Radio 4, and still do. If there's a play on Radio 4, I'll listen to it. Because it's all in the mind. It is the theatre of the mind, if you like. I know it's a corny thing to say, but radio is the theatre of the mind. Now, this fellow who works in Washington is called... he's called the Grease Man. And what he does is a basic top 40-style radio show. But every now and again, he'll throw in a little anecdote. Normally made up stuff, but it sounds realistic enough. And he'll basically tell a story. Like he'll say, my wife and I, Nadine, we once went mountain climbing, you know. And in will come like a mountain climbing music from nowhere. And hooks and things going into mountains. And there he'll be climbing up a mountain. And you listen to this, this is going out at breakfast time. It's completely compelling. You listen to it and you think, what is this bloke talking about? He's not talking about the weather. He's not giving away free money. He's doing something so totally unique. I've never heard anything like it. This is a story that he did about going to a museum.
I saw them people in that museum. And I started to freak out. Wouldn't it be great to go through display room after display room, looking at those mealy professor types standing there staring up at those paintings with your carrot, with your long lengths of wire, with those two handles on either end there. And just pull it tight, tight. Yes, yes, yes. Going from room to room and mopping up. Yeah, all the guards are unarmed, but I don't think they'd get in your way. They'd see what you were doing. They probably longed to do it for years. All those poor guys that work in those museums answering stupid questions. Where's the Aztec exhibit? It's in the next building across the street, stupid. You're in the wrong building. Yeah! I know when you're out of automatic weapons ammunition, you just take that magnum and fire into the crowd. Yeah! One by one. You just finish the place off. Maybe even put a big sign outside that says, free tourist maps, free tourist guides to D.C. And when that Smithsonian's just laden, when the gallery's just laden, you plant the plastique around the perimeter of the building. When the place can't hold another Ohio resident, you sit outside with the plunger and you let that baby rip! And as the rubble settles and there's nothing left, you smile with the knowledge, with the full satisfaction, that at last the downtown area can have what it's been lacking for a lot of years, a good bowling alley.
People always say about the afternoon show that we do on Radio 1, who does the voices? What's going on? Who are the afternoon boys? Who is Mr. Angry? What about Sid the manager? What about Gervais the hairdresser? Who is Dave Doubledeck the DJ? What about the boss? Where do you get all that stuff? I never like to tell folks too much about it because it would be like learning who works Roland Rat, you know, who's got his hand up Roland Rat's bum. You don't really want to know that because it, in a sense, it does spoil the imagery. I remember seeing about 6 months ago Kermit the Frog on Terry Wogan's show, and the creator Jim Henson was there, and it totally spoilt it for me. So if folks know who Mr. Angry really is or who Gervais the hairdresser really is, I think it kind of spoils it. It's real on the air. So it is real for people. Now, the interesting thing, we were talking about imagery earlier on. I think that you have to have half reality and half imagery. And you can actually mix the two. You can have a fictional character. I like to call the characters that we have on the show cartoons. So I'll have one of the characters, Sid the manager or Gervais the hairdresser, talk about something in the news. So there you have just a slice of reality and a slice of fantasy, and the two actually fuse and join together.
Steve Wright, Tuesday afternoon. Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Gervaisy Wasey.
I'll tell you what, I'm really excited. Do you know?
What?
The days used to be so tiring, but now I've got my friend Jeffrey, who is teaching me every trick in the book.
Oh, he's your driving instructor.
He is. I've got an appointment at 15:15.
Uh-huh.
I'm just spruicing myself up. Let's dab a lift behind my ears.
Why not? Are you and Jeffrey getting on well together?
Yeah, he's ever such a nice man.
Is he?
He's really kind. He's got such strong hands as well. he said to me the other day when I got in, he said, you smell nice.
Really?
I said, it's just a little something special I put on. Say, yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, I must go.
All right.
I'm just getting ready, and I'll speak to you later. I tell you how I got on.
All right, Gervais, keep your tongue out.
Keep yours out as well, Steve. Bye.
You'll always hear about a rolling on the Steve Wright and the Afternoon Show.
You'll always hear a better oldie on Steve Wright in the Afternoon.
I was tired of my lady. Yeah. We've been together too long. Like a worn-out recording of a favorite song.
Hello there.
I read the paper in bed, and in the personal columns there was this letter I read. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the
Mr. Angry can say things that I wouldn't dare say. He can criticize people. He can talk about people in the news, politicians, musicians, actors, TV folks, just regular people. And he can insult them. And he can insult the gas board. He can say things about British Rail. He can say things about the government. He can say things that I wouldn't say. And, of course, journalists will always say, ah, yes, you're living through your characters, aren't you? It's your alter ego. Really, it's just a format, and it's just a ploy to let me off the hook. I can't say all the outrageous things. I have to let some other people say them. So they're radio cartoons. They're satires in themselves, if you like, without wanting to sound too pretentious about this. They are cartoons, and you can say in a newspaper cartoon something that you wouldn't dare say in the editorial. They are like Spitting Image, if you like. They are the radio equivalent of Spitting Image.
Steve Ryan.
Yes, sir.
This is Megan from Purley, Mr. Angry.
Mr.
Angry. I'm reading about a couple of things in the paper today.
Oh, yeah?
I see this boy George and vote in the Euro elections.
You don't have to actually go.
Yes.
I really don't understand. Now, when I listen to other stations, people are talking about the music. I don't know why they do that. The music speaks for itself. My view is that you have to talk about the subjects that relate to people. Otherwise, it's a wasted link. And I would try and talk about those subjects, like TV, like do-it-yourself, like bodies and houses and showbiz and newspapers and royalty, and the subjects that people are really interested in hearing about, EastEnders, whatever it happens to be. And I'll try to be topical. If people are talking about it on the street or in the pub, hopefully, touch wood, you can guarantee I've been talking about it in the afternoons. Also, I try to be a little bit upfront. Folks who are prone to emotional outbursts. So I do the same myself, and I am prone to emotional outbursts. If something is enraging me, infuriating me, then I might somehow work it into the show. And some people will be upset by it. And some people will say, hear, hear, I agree with what he said. He's absolutely right. You can't please all of the people all of the time, the old saying goes, and I suppose that's true. But I think that you do have to be memorable, and I think some of the great people in radio have been fairly provocative. People like Noel Edmonds and Tony Blackburn and some of the others. Sometimes one might go too far. And I went too far. There was a particular instance where I did, in fact, go too far. I was talking about the AIDS epidemic. Now, this was about, I suppose, about 18 months ago, when AIDS was a new thing and people didn't really understand what it meant and what it was all about. And I was very, very flippant on the air generally about AIDS. And I don't really think I should have done that. And I was criticised not only by the management at Radio 1, but also people started writing to me saying, well, look, I'm going to turn you off. So I think a week later I said, look, I'm sorry. I was over the top about AIDS. You know, I went too far. I overstepped the mark. I'm very sorry. And I was genuinely sorry. So I think you can be provocative. And, of course, sometimes you can go too far.
Welsh women are the sexiest. A report in the press today claims that Welsh women are the sexiest in Britain. The report goes on to say that they... can we do this? Yeah, we can do this. They have sex more often. Welsh
Isn't
ladies,
that awful?
Well, I don't know. It's not so bad. I mean, it's cold there at the moment. There's not much else to do. You could watch telly. You could watch SC4. Or you could have sex. You could listen to Radio 1. They know when they want it, those Welsh girls. They know exactly when they want it. And they'll make love anywhere, sometimes 6 times a week. They'll go anywhere, anytime. 6 times a week, really? Isn't that a bit too much?
Hi, good morning. This is Radio 1. I'm Michael Jackson, and I'd just like to introduce this morning's montage. Song's all about...
Gotta keep this up, my voice is killing me. This is the montage, and it's all about ladies' names.
Hi,
I'm more of a radio listener than a, you know, than a practitioner of the art, if you like. I don't see what I do as going down in history as wonderful moments in radio. What I do is basically throw out like chips. You know, it's like throw away in a bin. It's disposable. It's entertaining and nice at the time, hopefully. But then it's throw it away time and move on to the next bag of chips. So that's the way I see what I do. I have a certain attitude toward the job, which is hopefully a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I send myself up on the air. I'm just a pretend DJ. I'm not a real DJ like Dave Doubledeck's Into the Music. Got the latest song from, flown in from abroad. Here's the latest remix. We've got a session from. That really isn't me at all. And I think our listener knows that. The listener knows, because I credit the listener with probably more intelligence than me, he or she knows that I'm in fact sending myself up, sending up radio, and what the hell, enjoy it. It's only radio, it's not brain surgery. So when all is said and done, it's just basically a damn good laugh. And I hope that's the way people perceive me to be. We've had a letter from somebody who wants to know what equipment I've got. We're talking about the equipment in the studio here, and loads of people ask me this stuff. They say, well, where do all those noises come from, and how do you get things to come in on time? Do you want to know? Should we do this? All right. What's this called? You know, is it, what's that, a cart machine, is it? That's a cartridge. We got five cartridge machines here. Come in, mate, you tell them. How many cartridge machines do we have,
there's
Graham?
Five in the studio, Steve. I know,
five cartridge
two
machines. Okay, now those have the jingles on, right?
That's a jingle there.
That's
yeah.
A jingle. Okay, should we put a jingle on?
Yeah, put one of those on. Yeah.
Put one of those on. That right, comes out of a cart machine like that. Then on the left of me, Graham, what we got here?
Well, some people might call it a record player, but we call it a gram.
A gram, okay, and it goes. Okay, and then we've got another one on my right side and another one at the back of me. We bung the old, like, you know, bit of backing music on there like that. Then we've got two more cartridge machines over here, which I haven't learned how to use yet. What do they come up on, Graham?
Those are one and two. You've got...
Oh, do they yeah. work as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Microphone here.
Microphone,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got another one over there,
over
right?
There. Yeah.
Anything else we can tell him about?
Just a heap of money for feeding the meter, that's
you got the money there?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to give me that? Okay, I'll just... I'll put that on there for later. Telephone balancing unit. People.
Lights, lots of lights. Tell us when the place is on fire.
Plants.
Plants, yeah. Oh, yeah, plants. No. Very essential for it.
We're losing it a bit now.
I'm not afraid to die.
Radio was produced by Kevin Howlett. The series consultant is Tim Blackmore.
Oh, just wash it now. I'll have to go now.
Okay.
Come back about here, boy.
Hello.
Hello, boy.
Hello.
Hello.
It's gone quiet this end.